You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us once again for Together with Jesus. We are going to be reading John 17 and 18 today out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's the HCSB. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so he may give eternal life to all you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one that you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to the men you gave me from the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things you have given to me are from you, because the words that you gave me I have given them. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, everything you have is mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they may be sanctified in the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire those you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them." After Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas took a company of soldiers and some temple police from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing with them. When he told them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Who is it that you are looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they said. "I told you I am he," Jesus replied, "so if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the words he had said, "I have not lost one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, "Sheathe your sword. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the company of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish temple police arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was advantageous that one man should die for the people. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the slaves in the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them warming himself. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple complex where all the Jews congregate, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the temple police standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Then Jesus denied it again. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. Then Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." So Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." "It is not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. They said this that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and the chief priests hand you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this and have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. As he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no grounds for charging him. You have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Hey everybody, thanks for sticking around for this part of the podcast. This is what we call the after party, and it's where we get into the topic and kind of the understanding that's behind the text as we're looking today at John 17 and 18. So we start off in John 17 today with a thing that's called the high priestly prayer a lot of times. In this, Jesus is acting like a high priest. That's something that is shown to us in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about Jesus being the high priest. And here what he's doing is he's praying for, he'll kind of go through three movements where he's praying about himself, he's praying for his disciples, his immediate disciples, and then he's clearly praying for us, clearly praying for the people that will believe as a result of the message of the disciples. And so that'll pretty much take us right through chapter 17. All of chapter 17 is that prayer. And so we then jump into it with the first little bit where Jesus is praying about himself and about his role and what he's doing. And so he gets into that and he says, you know, Father, the hour has come. Now, this is an important thing. Twice now, at least, we've heard Jesus talk about his hour and how his hour has not yet come. Most notably, I think we remember that in terms of when Jesus responds back to his mother all the way back in John 2, where she says, hey, you know, you can do something here. And Jesus responds back to her, my hour has not yet come. But now he's talking to his father and he's saying, my hour has come. This is now the thing that Jesus came to do. That thing that Jesus came to do is to prepare himself as a sacrifice for all people. And so he's getting ready for that. And he goes through and he kind of begins his prayer to the Father about that. He asks that he may be glorified and through the glorification bring glory to the Father. And that's really what Jesus is doing in this first, in about the first five verses here. So then after that, Jesus gets into praying about his immediate disciples, the 11 that are left with him before they move into the Garden of Gethsemane here. And so Jesus is, he's praying to the Father still the same prayer, just kind of a new paragraph, if you will. And he's talking about the men who God gave to him. And Jesus really sees this as, you know, these are the people that you gave to me. I have, you know, I have taken care of them. I've been a good steward, if you will, except for the one that was destined to fall away, being Judas because of scripture. And he says, now he's asking on their behalf. He's asking that they may be one with Jesus as Jesus and the Father are one, so that everybody is one there. And he's asking that they would receive protection from the evil one. He's asking that there would be things that they would be able to have joy within themselves because of this connection that they have with Jesus and God the Father. So then we move into the third part of this prayer, and the third part really starts in about verse 20, where he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, meaning his disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And so here he's actually praying for us because we are the people that inherit the faith that has been given to us by the gospel, by the disciples continuing to bring it forward to us. And he's asking that even we may be one, just as the disciples are one. He's asking that we may be made one as well, and that glorification cycle that he was praying about with his disciples, that would be the same as well. And so you have those things coming together here. Jesus is praying for this kind of mystical union, this oneness that we have with God through our baptisms, through the gospel, and that is analogous to the connection that Jesus has to the Father. And so we're all kind of being made one through this prayer that Jesus is praying. So that gets us through the high priestly prayer. And then after the high priestly prayer, we get a little bit more action. So John seems to kind of like to do this where he intersperses quite a bit of Jesus's talking and then gives you a little bit of action, a little bit of movement. And so we find out that Jesus is moving now into what we would call the Garden of Gethsemane. But John just says that it is a garden in the ravine of Kidron that he enters with his disciples, and that this is a place where they, you know, that was familiar to them. This was not some place that was strange, but some place that they would have hung out before. And because of that, Judas knows where this is. Judas then brings together a group of soldiers. This group of soldiers is likely a group of soldiers that is from the high priest. So they're probably Jewish soldiers, maybe temple guards that are there in order to arrest Jesus. And the reason for that is where they're going to end up is at the house of Annas, who is the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And so there doesn't seem to be anything Roman about this arrest here. And so you have Judas kind of showing up. You don't have the story of Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. In John, what John is very keen to do is to show you that Jesus is doing this of his own accord. He doesn't want people to get confused. You know, maybe Jesus was somehow an unwilling victim. In John, John is recording things so that it shows us for sure that Jesus is doing this of his own volition. And so in John's telling here, Jesus goes forth and he asks them, who do you seek? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus replies with, I am he. Now, we've talked before about those words, I am. In Greek, they are ego in me. And they are things that seem to point toward Jesus claiming a connection with the Father, claiming a connection with Yahweh, because the word Yahweh really literally means I am who I am, and here Jesus is just kind of saying the first part of that, and so Jesus says I am he, and this amazing thing happens. Everybody stumbles back and they stumble to the ground. Now there's all sorts of different ways that we can understand this. One of those ways is to understand it as they're just so surprised that Jesus is saying this, that they kind of stumble back and they trip over themselves. And, these are not Roman guards, so maybe they're not really used to, kind of getting together like this. But the other way of understanding it is that Jesus says, I am he. And this is the true Son of God saying, I am. And so as he does that, he is, he's showing, okay, this is really who I am. And by him saying that, there's maybe a sort of a spiritual power that actually causes these guards to stumble backwards. Now, the detail that we do get here in John mentions this as well, is that Peter draws his sword and he cuts off the ear of a servant or a slave of the high priest. Now, he actually gets a name in John. His name is Malchus, and John records that for us. We're not really sure why. Some of the other gospels, when they record a name, you kind of think, oh, well, that's because somebody in the early church knew them. Simon of Cyrene, who is the father of Rufus and Alexander. Well, why mention Rufus and Alexander? Well, probably because they were a part of the early church. Here, you don't really have that same sense with Malchus, even though Jesus does heal Malchus's ear. So it's possible that he does become a part of the church later. We don't really know how that plays out. We also don't know why John chooses to record his name. There's probably something historically significant where, people can look at Malchus and they can say, oh yeah, he's got two ears. Jesus healed that guy. And so there's something like that. And then Jesus says to Peter, put the sword in its sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And that whole sense of things is Jesus, again, showing that he's in control. John recording that Jesus is in control. He's not going unwillingly to the cross, but rather he knows exactly what's going to happen, and he's going willingly to the cross where he will be executed, not fairly, but he's doing that willingly on our behalf. So then after we have the arrest moment, they actually take Jesus and they take him to the house of Annas, who is the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who is the high priest. So the other gospels make a bigger deal out of this, that the court in which Jesus is tried by the Jewish officials is kind of a kangaroo court. It's not something that's official. Here you see that even more, where you go, oh, well, this is just, the house of the father-in-law of the high priest. This is not, you know, going to the temple. This is not going to the quarters of the Sanhedrin, but rather this is just, you know, a guy's house. And here they are putting him on trial. You also have this intermixed with the great story of Peter denying Jesus three times. You don't have Peter notably crying from this. And so you have, you know, Peter who is, you know, he denies Jesus, and then that's going to, you know, figure into Peter's story later. And yet it's interesting the way that John is choosing to record this story. Peter by now is a great leader in the early churches and at the time of this writing. And so everybody likely would have already known this story from the other synoptic gospels. So yeah, it's an interesting thing that John includes it. That's, I think, where we have to leave it. But it is interesting that John does choose to say, hey, here's this story that everybody knows, but I'm going to tell it to you again. So after they go to Annas's house, it seems like Jesus spends, at least according to John, a very brief time, it seems like, at Caiaphas's house. So they send him from Annas to Caiaphas. After they go from Caiaphas, then Caiaphas and the Jewish people, they then bring him to Pilate. And that's where we have this really interesting conversation that happens between Pilate and Jesus. And so, you know, the Jews bring him to Pilate. They say, we want you to, you know, we want you to take care of this guy. Pilate says, you know, what has he done? And they sort of, you know, they sort of hint around it. And they were like, well, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have brought him to you. And I'm sure that was probably as unclear then as it was now, because Pilate seems to continue to have more questions. Pilate then brings Jesus back into his own quarters and asks him, are you a king? Now, this would have been the right question to ask, because Pilate's major concern would be, hey, are you starting to have a revolution? Are you rising up against Rome? Are you a king? And, you know, Jesus then answers with this, well, my kingdom is not from this world. My kingdom doesn't have its origin point in this world, but rather the origin point for my kingdom is in heaven, and that's actually what I'm bringing to the world. And so it's not that my kingdom is not of this world, because it will be. It will definitely be a kingdom that is on this earth through the church, and then after that through the resurrection. But Jesus is also recognizing this is not the kind of kingdom that we're talking about when you ask me, am I a king? And so then Pilate goes out and he says, you know, I haven't found anything. But how about this? We've got two prisoners now. I usually release for one of them for you. Do you want this guy or do you want Barabbas? Now, we don't know why Pilate comes up with this. We don't know that much about Barabbas. We hear that he is, some translations say he's a robber. Some other translations say he's a rebel. I've even seen a translation that says he's a brigand. It's likely that this guy was kind of a revolutionary, somebody who was, you know, messing with Rome, and that would have been fairly common for the time. And so it's possible that Pilate thinks that they'll want to get rid of Jesus, and so because of that, Pilate gets the chance to set this other guy free for some reason. It's also possible that that plays out the other way, and that really Pilate wants to, you know, set Jesus free, and he's going to do that on the back of Barabbas. But the people that are there, they're shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. And that is where we are going to end with today. And so thank you so much for joining us for these two chapters. We're getting close to the end, which means that we are getting close to the end of this podcast in the form that it is. We've been kicking around a few different ideas of what we're going to be doing next. And so we're looking forward to that, but we will definitely continue on next week. We're going to be talking about chapters 19 19 and 20. And then John only has 21 chapters. And so our last one will be a one chapter on John 21, which is plenty to talk about. So that'll be great. And so we look forward to being with you for the next 2 weeks and in this way with Together with Jesus. And then we're going to continue on with something else as we go forward. Thanks so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.